Well, I'm thankful to be here this morning. I want to echo Jonathan's comments, how much of an encouragement it is to have all of you here with us today. It's just a real blessing and encouragement.
Yes, thank the Lord.
I suspect Jonathan and Cindy, maybe Colin and Reagan, they all know that's probably one of my favorite songs that they sing. That's my testimony. I want to make it. I want to let the Lord know I'm looking forward to that day when I can bow down at His feet and let Him know how much I appreciate what He did for me. There's no other friend that we have like Jesus. I'm thankful this morning that He wants to be my friend. You know, there's sometimes in life there's people you might like to be friends with. You see people at school or maybe a neighbor, and you think, I'd like to be friends with them, but it never seems to work out. Well, I'd like to be a friend with Jesus. The good news this morning is that Jesus would like to be a friend to you too. That's a wonderful thought, to have the Lord call us by name. I don't want to miss heaven for anything. I do not want to hold back on my best friend. I don't want to live in a way that disappoints Him, but I want to take up His cause in this life. This past week, I guess, we've been reminded that there is an end to this life. Yes. One of the folks, Brother Virgil, that's been in our congregation here is no longer with us. And it's a reminder that no matter how long we live, there's going to come a time when it's over with, and all that is going to matter.
It's all of it.
That's right. All that's going to matter is, Lord, am I going to be able to meet You in peace? That is going to mean everything.
Yes.
Regardless if you live 20 years, 80 years, 84, I think that's what Brother Virgil was. It doesn't matter. It's going to seem so short compared to eternity. And wasn't it Jesus that said, what would a man profit if he gained the whole world but he lost his soul? What would a man give in exchange? Can you think of anything? Can you think of anything that you would give in exchange? I can't. I can't think of what I would want to give in exchange for my soul. And I don't want to live in a way so that the very best friend that I have, that he would look at me and say, Rob, why are you holding back? Why are you holding things to yourself? Why not be all in? Why not follow me with your whole life, with your whole heart? Because I have so much to give you. And so I'm challenged this morning, challenged with a little message that we would run this race and be all in. That we would not hold back anything from the Lord. And I'd like to start in the 5th chapter of Acts. And I'd like to remind us this morning of, well, to me, they're sobering accounts. But in the end, I don't want us to go away discouraged. I want us to take these accounts as a challenge. Lord, help me to give all to You because You've given so much to me. Lord, You have so much to help me with in this life. I don't want to be deceived by this world, the things of this world, deceived into thinking that if I hold back something, that somehow I will be further ahead. Because isn't that the way that the enemy works? He comes along sometimes and says, you know, if you'd hold back a little bit here, you could maybe maximize your life. You can still have the Lord, but you don't have to let go of this. And he gets us to take on things which really, in the end, result in holes in our boat, if you will. And as we journey to that other side that we talked about a couple of days ago, I don't want any holes in my ship. I don't want to take on water. I don't want the enemy to cause me to start taking on water ever so slowly. Well, it's just a little hole. Well, I'm just holding a little bit back. Lord, I'm it ought to be okay. I've got all this for You, Lord. I don't want to take on water slowly. Because I know that eventually, it'll cause me to sink. I want my life in total. I want it to be dedicated to the cause of the Lord. So I'd like to read a few. We don't have a lot of time. I'll read this one, maybe paraphrase the others. But in the fifth chapter of Acts, this is a common, a familiar story. It said, a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, they sold the possession and kept back part of the price. And his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. I hope this morning that we too feel the fear that we ought to feel after reading this account. Not only for what this account meant to them, but for what it means for us too. I believe that the scriptures that we have, there is value in every story, in every account, in every teaching. There is practical application for us in our lives. And I want to get out of it what the Lord would have me to get out of it. I want to be aligned with the Lord. Because when I meet Him, I want to meet Him with a clear conscience. I want to meet Him with nothing standing in between us. That day that is coming soon. The other day I said, quoted the verse, Scripture says, behold, I come quickly. Saints, sometimes it feels like we have a lot of time. Sometimes it feels like we have a lot of opportunity out ahead of us. We are not guaranteed time. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed 70 years. We're not guaranteed any time after that. We are at the mercy of the Lord. And when He comes back, I want to be able to hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I don't want there to be anything. I don't want to take chances with my life. I don't want to try to ride the edge. I don't want to see how much I can keep for myself and give just what I feel like I have to give to get in. Because if I do that, really, I'm trying to live back under the law. Sometimes I feel like we have it totally reversed. We feel like the people that lived under the law, they were the ones that were trying to, you know, follow a list, and they were. And then we find, well, you can't earn your way into heaven, and you can't. It's only by the blood of Jesus. Can't do enough good things to get in. But then I feel like sometimes we get on the other side and say, well, I'm living by grace. I don't have to live by works. And then we find all the things we think sometimes we can get by with and not do. And you look at that and you think, well, wait a minute. Aren't you really reverting back to feeling like you're trying to live by your works because you feel like you don't have to do this and you will do this but not this? The Lord came to bring us salvation by grace. He came to bring us a new heart. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He came to bring us a salvation and an experience where we want to be all in. Yes. Where we're not in the business of trying to figure out, what do I have to do, and what can I get by without, and what part can I keep to my... If that's where we are, We're missing it. The Lord came to give us an experience where we live because this is how we want to live. It's how we go because that's where we want to go. We stay away from the places because that's where we want to stay away from. Because that's where our heart is. We have given our all to the Lord. And I want to live that way. And I want Him to know, this is my child. He's living for me. He's giving His all to me. And that's where the Lord wants us. I don't want to hold back a part. There's some history that went with this story here. The Holy Spirit had just come in great power, and His power was among the people and the disciples, and the disciples and their followers, they were preparing to go out and bring the gospel, salvation by grace, to those that were around, and they began to sell what they had and made all things common, and so that they could facilitate this work. Barnabas had just gone and sold all his land and had laid it down at the apostles' feet. I don't know what all was going on in Ananias and Sapphira's heart. So I'm not going to profess to tell you what their motives are. But as I think about what some human motives might be, they came and perhaps they wanted to enjoy or experience the blessings and the power that they saw being manifested. And so they came and they presented it as if they were laying their all, that they had sold everything and they were putting it all out before the disciples' feet. But really they were keeping back a portion for themselves. I don't know all the reasons why they did it, whether they wanted to just be recognized as having given their all, if they wanted to somehow have the power and the blessings that went with those that they saw giving their all. But in the end, they withheld a portion. They kept back a part. They reserved a part for themselves. And they tried to present it as if we're giving it all. We're turning it all over. Do we ever do that? Are we tempted to do that sometimes? Did you know that the enemy is working overtime to do everything he can to get us to withhold a part, to keep part for ourselves? And I want to say this morning that the Lord, I don't believe, is in the business of rewarding in part when we give in part, particularly when He knows and we know that we're holding back. I don't want to hold back. I want to give all to the Lord. I don't want to hold back and then come before the Lord and not be intellectually honest with myself. I don't want to be intellectually dishonest with others. I want to be all out in the open before the Lord. This is a simple little illustration, and maybe I've told it to you before, but I remember when I was a little boy, I went in and I got real good at taking the top off of the cookie jar with making no sound. I could take that thing off and you couldn't hear anything. And I ate a couple of cookies, put the top back. I went into the bathroom, the only door in the house that had a lock. Locked the door, ate my two cookies. If I was wise, cleaned my face off. And I went back out and I went to my mom and I said, "Is it all right if I go and get two cookies?" And she said, "Sure, you can go get two cookies." And so then I went and didn't have to worry about being quiet, took two more cookies and ate my two cookies and felt somehow justified that what I was eating, I had been given permission to eat. But I had not been honest with my mother. The whole story was not on the table. I had withheld really what all had gone on. She didn't know it. Don't know if she knows it today. But the Lord knew it. And I knew it. And I never felt completely at peace with it. Even though I tried to tell myself, she said I could have them. She never said, I couldn't have the other two. She never said, don't take those. But I knew there was something. There was something I wasn't doing right. I was withholding. I was withholding a portion for myself so that I could take on more of what I wanted. The thing is, in life, life becomes way more serious than a couple of chocolate chip cookies. If the enemy can get us to begin to take a little bit for ourselves, and then come and try to present ourselves as if this is the whole story, that you're getting what you see what you get, there's nothing hidden. And yet, we're keeping apart for ourselves. I'm concerned about that. I remember one time I was traveling with a man, and well, with a group of people. I think we were in Utah. We got in late at night. He called his wife, told her, he said, I know this because he was bragging about it the next day. And he said, honey, we got in, we just got here, it's late, I just got to my room, just laid down in my bed. And as soon as he hung up the phone, he got up and he hit the town. And we heard all about his, you know, what he was involved with the next morning as he was telling us, you know, what he told his wife, what he did. He withheld what he did to his wife. He tried to make it sound like it was one thing, but then in the hidden places, there was something else going on. I don't want there to be any... We say, well, we wouldn't do anything like that. But are there little things? Are there things that the enemy tries to get in to our life? Are there things that he tries to get us to withhold? There's a scripture that says in the 6th chapter of Galatians, be not deceived. Why? God is not mocked. Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. What does it mean by God is not mocked? Have you thought about that before? When he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. I feel like sometimes we almost live our lives as if we can convince God with our own wisdom that somehow we're okay. And that somehow that how we are presenting ourselves is going to be acceptable. God's not mocked. We're not wiser than God. Don't be deceived. For whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. And I'm concerned, I'm frightened today when I see more and more people defining what is right and wrong. More and more. Society today is deciding what is right and what is wrong, and in the middle of all of that is something that's being promulgated that there are no definite rights and wrongs. That's right in there too. They want to tell you what's right and wrong, but then at the same time don't make any of them real concrete. Because if we do, then even if we agree on this thing, there may be something else that we don't agree on, and I don't want to be held accountable to it, and I don't want anybody else to hold me accountable to it. And so today, society is just becoming fuzzier and fuzzier and more grays, less concretes, less things that are definitives, and I believe that is a trick of the devil. It is a trick of the enemy to get us to the place where nothing is just totally wrong. And if it's right for you, that's okay. Just don't make it wrong for me. And all the while, what do we see? We see the morale's going down. We see more and more and more of people taking things in and withholding a portion. I would like this for myself. And if you notice more and more, it's things that appeal to our flesh. There are things, I mean, you don't see a mass movement in the world of people becoming more strict, do you? There are always those groups. But as a whole, you don't see people becoming more and more diligent and taking on more and more sacrifice and self-denial, right? That's not the trend of the day. The trend is, in modern Christianity, to take more and more on of the world. More and more of what pleases the eyes, what pleases the ears, what pleases the flesh. and continue to present themselves before God and before other people as everything is okay. There's nothing, here it is. I've laying it all out and they'll present, and it's deceptive. And I believe it's a sign of the last times. The church of God is not just battling those that are heathens and those that profess that they're not Christians. The church of God has a battle waging against professed Christianity in the world today. Those that say, I'm serving the same God you are and this is okay. I'm going to the same place you are and this is okay. Withholding more and more and not willing to sell out and be all in. I thought about the story of Saul and the sheep. You remember the Amalekites? Probably all remember that story. We'll paraphrase through it, but it's in 1 Samuel. And you remember they were told to go and destroy everything. Don't bring anything back. Destroy everything that is contrary to the Lord. And they were contrary to the Lord. And so the story goes that it was early in the morning. Well, they kept. The story was is that Saul smote the Amalekites. This is the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. But he took the king. He spared the king's life, which they were wont to do. They did that to parade them around sometimes and show them to the people, kind of as a trophy. And they took the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fat ones, the lambs, and all that was good. And they did not utterly destroy. We can have a message on utterly destroy. Utterly means completely. It means totally, completely. Don't have any part of it. Separate yourself from it. Destroy it. Don't take any of it. They didn't do that. And they brought the best. Samuel came by in the morning. And Saul seems like he quickly said, we've done according to the will of the Lord. Here he is presenting it now to the man of God. We've done according to the Lord, will of the Lord. And Samuel said, what is that noise I hear? What's the meaning of the bleeding? What's going on over there? Oh, he said, well, you remember what he said, who he blamed it on first? Well, the people. Well, the people. And so this strikes me as interesting. He blamed it on the people, but then he tried to tie it to the Lord. He didn't include himself to start with, but he did try to draw in the Lord. He said, well, the people. You see, the people came and they wanted to bring these things, and it was so that they could sacrifice unto the Lord. They brought the best. In other words, he didn't say this out loud, but this was the point of it. We didn't do according to the will of the Lord totally, but the reason we didn't was that so that we could better honor the Lord. Have you ever heard that today? You know, sometimes people live their lives and they make justification in their lives, what they do, when it's contrary to the Word, with reasons as if it's going to help further promote the cause of the Lord. Well, I can reach the world better. The world will listen to me if I look like them, go where they go, do what they do. The Lord knows my heart. He knows where I'm coming from. I'm just trying to, I want to offer up my life as a sacrifice to the Lord. And in the end, my motive is right. But it didn't work. Samuel, he just said, Saul, he said, when you were little in your own sight, when you weren't out trying to be somebody, when you weren't trying to promote yourself, when self wasn't what was so important to you to portray to the other people, when you were little in your own sight, basically, didn't the Lord bless you? Didn't He make you the head of the tribes of Israel? Didn't the Lord anoint the king over the Israel? And then he said, the Lord sent thee on a journey, and he said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? But you did fly upon the soil, and you did evil in the sight of the Lord. And this strikes me. Saul still was not ready to acknowledge it. Still was not ready to say, yes, you're right. He still had reasons to come back. His response was, he said, wait, yay, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And then he just condemned himself because he said, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He just condemned himself. The Lord said, utterly destroy everything. He didn't say, bring the king back alive. He said, destroy everything. And Saul was ready to look Samuel right in the face and say, I've done just what the Lord said to do. And I've brought the king back alive. And I've utterly destroyed all of the rest. I don't want to do that in my life. I don't want to take those things that I want to bring back and then look at the face of the man of God or the Lord or the Spirit of God and say, I've done what you called me to do. I've done your will. We didn't focus on this, but Peter told, I think it was Ananias, he said, you haven't just sinned against the people and yourself, but you lied against God. You're not being honest with God. I don't want to do that in my life, saints. There's nothing worth holding back a portion for myself. And Saul had somehow tried to incorporate the Lord into all this. That is a trick of the enemy.
Yes.
I want us to understand that. It's a trick of the enemy to get us to take that which is wrong in the sight of the Lord and incorporate it into those things that are right and just and holy before the Lord. That's a trick of the enemy. That's how we become deceived, because he gets us to take on a little bit and then turn our focus to all that's right and then have justification for what we have. And Samuel said, oh, but then Saul blamed, now he's blaming it on the people. He said, but the people took the sheep and the oxen and the chief things which have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And Saul got to the point in the 24th verse. He said, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. There's much more that could be said about that. I want to tell you this morning, I don't want to wait until I meet the Lord,
yes, Lord,
to get to this place. I don't want men and women of the Lord to come to me.
Amen.
In this life and say, Rod, this is the word of the Lord. This is the Holy Scripture. I don't want to read the Holy Scripture. I don't want to feel and hear the voice of the Spirit and then turn it around and withhold the part only to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And have God say, Rod, what are you doing? Why did you take this? Why did you take this on? Because I'm not going to be able to say, well, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. Proverbs 24:12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. If you say, behold, well, I didn't know. Doth not he that ponder the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Do you see how serious this is? I don't want that to be the testimony of my life. God has so much for us today. We only hurt ourselves by withholding things. We're only hurting ourselves in this life, too. Look at the end of all of these people. Did it work out for Ananias and Sapphira to hold back? No. Did it work out for Saul and the people to hold back in this life? Did they have to wait till the... No. And I think about Achan and Ai. You remember that? Remember when they went into... When Joshua led them into Jericho and the Lord said, again, destroy everything. Don't take anything. And they were obeying the Lord just exactly. And they won a great battle. But Achan, it was Achan, right? Achan took, he took some silver, he took some gold, and he took a Babylonian garment because it was pleasing to his eyes. It looked good and it wasn't utterly destroyed because he thought it had some value in it. And the story goes that the next battle that they had at Ai, lowly Ai, they lost. And they shouldn't have lost. And Joshua's like, oh my, you know, what happened here? Something is wrong in the camp. Somebody did something contrary to the word of the Lord. And so they began this investigation, and it comes to find out that Achan had taken some silver, some gold, a Babylonian. What was in the world was he going to do with the Babylonian garment? Put it on and wear it with the come out some morning with the children of Israel with this Babylonian garment on? I mean, I wondered that. What was he thinking? It was pleasing to the eyes. I guess he could go in and close his tent at night and look at it. But it was buried under his tent. What was he going to do with the thing? It was only to his hurt. And we take things on in this life that are pleasing to our eyes, but only will hurt us. And you say, what are you going to do with that? What possibly are you going to do with that in life as a Christian? Are you going to put that on? Are you going to go there? Are you going to do that? Are you going to watch that? Are you going to listen to that? Are you going to live this way as a Christian? Well, I just thought it looked nice. And what happened? They found it. He confessed. And who suffered? Let's not lose this point. Who suffered? Just Achan?
His whole family.
His whole entire family. They took his family. They took his children. They took his animals. They took everything. And they utterly destroyed it. Because the Lord said, utterly destroy the other. And they had taken on a portion. Not everything. He just brought several things back. And the scripture said that he put it with his stuff. Saints, don't put stuff of the world with your stuff. Don't mix it. Don't withhold a part. It will only hurt you. The end of all of these situations, it was only to their hurt. Jesus said, seek first. That's where it's all wrapped up, isn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek after that. Don't withhold a part to yourself. This morning, who are you following? What are you following after? Jesus has come by and He's called our name. He's called your name. And He said, would you follow me? I'm inviting you to come and be part of my family. The Son of God is inviting us to be part of His family. Don't turn Him away. Don't say, hold on, Jesus. I'm gonna follow you completely, but I've got just a little bit of something I need to carry with me. All it's going to do is weight you down. That's why the scripture says, don't just lay aside the sins, lay aside the weights that'll easily beset you. Just let it go. Let it go. Sometimes your flesh almost feels like standing out on the street and just yelling. Just let it go. Give it up. Just stop trying. Stop trying to carry all of this weight around that's always in the back of your mind, that's always hindering your spiritual growth, that's always nagging you, that's always keeping that peace that passeth all understanding. Just let go of it and give your all to the Lord. He has so much to give us. The good news today is that we have the opportunity right now to lay out everything before the Lord, the good and the bad. That's the wonderful news of salvation, is that the Lord has said, you come just like you are. Bring the things that you have withheld and come before me, and I won't condemn you, but I'll save you from it. I'll put a new heart in you where you won't want those things anymore. You'll want something more than that. He said, I'll give you a new song. I'll put new purpose in your life. I'll forgive you for the things that were wrong in your life. That's the Lord we serve. We serve a God who has paid the ultimate price that we can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to live that way. I don't want to hold. I do not want to withhold anything. I'm not trying to preach it above where it is. We all live life. The Scripture tells us that we grow in grace. The Lord helps us see places in our lives where we can move up. And when we see that and we have opportunity, let's just open it up. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. I want to be always willing to confess and to be open and to be honest and present myself before the Lord just like I am. Because I have confidence that if I do that, the Lord is going to accept me. And He'll forgive me. And I can live so that I can get to the end of the way. And be welcomed in. And He can be my best friend. And I will be able to kneel at His feet and thank Him for the nail-scarred hands. And the nail-scarred feet. And the love that He showed to me in this life. And the purpose that He gave me in this life. And the reward that we'll receive after. There's nothing worth giving anything up. There's nothing worth withholding apart. Don't be deceived by that. Let's be willing this morning. Let's give it all. Pray for me. Paul said, do not err, my beloved brother. I don't want to err. I want to be true and I want to be faithful. Pray for me.